I'm going to conclude a little series that I started at the beginning of July out of 1 Thessalonians. And so if you have a Bible with you, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you didn't bring a Bible, the words will be on the screen. And I appreciate Kristen working those scriptures for us. And it was just a little section of scriptures that I've read many, many times through the years, but they just struck me here a few weeks ago that I've never taken the time to go through each one. And so I'm going to conclude that this morning. So we'll read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse 14 this morning. And then I'll be specifically dealing with verse 20, but I'm going to include verses 21 and 22 to kind of wrap things up. I'm going to talk about a big subject in a small verse. Starting at verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. These are just some final exhortations to this 1 Thessalonian letter. To the Thessalonians. Verse 15, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. How many believe that's a good idea, that we pursue what is good, do our best to pursue what is good? And then this is where we started the series. Verse 16, rejoice always. So I talked about that a number of weeks ago. What does it mean to always rejoice, even when you don't feel like it? What does that look like? And then the next verse we dealt with on another week, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? To constantly be in prayer? No, we concluded that really that means to be ready to pray and be in the attitude of prayer always. And verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The thing that we got out of that was that we're to give God thanks not for things that happen, but in things that happen. And while we're going through something, our thanksgiving comes from the knowledge that Jesus goes through it with us. Amen? So not for all things, but in all things, we can give thanks. And then last week, we looked at verse 19. Do not quench the Spirit. And we talked about what does that mean. And I took us to the book of Romans and talked about the good angel here and the devil on this shoulder and the battle between good and evil and the voices that we hear sometimes telling us to do good and voice telling us to do bad and the battle of the mind. And so all week long, I encouraged you, but I've been doing it, is we're not to quench the Spirit, but we're to quench the fiery darts of the devil, right? The fiery darts are those thoughts that come to us. And I shared with you at the conclusion of the service last week. We didn't share online. I had them stop the online service on purpose about my brother, Ronnie. But we're not going to stop the video now because after I shared that with you, I got a text from my brother, Dan, and said, Ron and I would like to come and visit you this week. And so I said, come on, love to see you. And they said, we'll be there at 7:30 Saturday morning. And I said, good, I'll be asleep. Because I've been at camp. I was at camp all week long and up late. And so they came Saturday. They called me. They got here early. And I was asleep. They got here at 6:30. They said, we're on Parkway. How do we get to your house? And I said, well, you don't for 2 hours. No, I'm kidding. I didn't. I said, just make a left on Eaton Boulevard. Come on down to the S-curves and you'll find us. So they came. And I was able to visit with my two brothers. We've not been together for a long, long time. But the whole purpose of the visit, I think, was not only to see my brothers and them to see me, but to confirm what the Lord has done in my brother Ronnie's heart. And sitting out on my deck, Ronnie confessed that he and his wife had received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior after so many years of prayer, and that his heart's desire was to live the way that he should. And so I went from brother to pastor, giving them that great advice that I can give. And we prayed together, got a little picture of my two brothers, and I just rejoice that God is faithful. After so many years, to see both my brothers following Jesus Christ as their Savior, as a baby in the Lord. But God is faithful to answer prayer. Amen? Amen. And so I said that to say this, that I talked a little bit to Ron about the little good angel here and the devil here and the battle in the mind. And he smiled and said, that's exactly what what you go through. This morning, verse 20, do not despise prophecies. And verse 21 really ties to that. In the original, there's no break. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. That has to do with the prophecies. And then abstain from every form of evil. And the conclusion of these things, of this little series, has got to be verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So these little verses that I've been preaching on, the result of those, if we follow them, will be this peace. Verse 23 talks about the peace of God that sets us apart. And that's what we need in this day of peace. So I want to talk about verses 20 and 21 today. Last week, do not quench the spirit. This morning, do not despise prophecies. That little verse, and I called it a big message and a little verse. It's amazing to me that Paul would have to say, don't despise prophecies. The word despise is a harsh word. I would hope none of us despise anything of the Lord. But these Thessalonians, evidently there were some who were despising the work of prophecies and prophets. And that astounds me because the Corinthians were known for the prophetical ministry and the prophecies. Jesus himself would give prophecies. And yet he had to tell the Thessalonians, don't despise them. My conclusion is that somehow they were seeing the abuses of what a prophecy is and what a prophecy does and what a prophet and the role that a prophet does in the church. Now, there are some who believe the role of the prophet is no longer valid in our day. And, you know, I respect their opinion, but I'm of a different opinion. I do believe that we have the work of prophet today. And prophecies are important. But I think it's important to understand what they are. But somehow the Thessalonians either had seen something or were doing something that was so bad when it comes to prophecies and prophets that they despised them. They didn't want to have anything to do with them. So Paul felt it was necessary, as he did when he said, don't quench the spirit. Evidently there were those doing that. He thought it necessary to say to them, don't despise prophecies. The old saying is, you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. How many know what that means, right? You don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Okay, just because something is abused and misused doesn't mean you get rid of it totally. And that is, I think, what we're dealing with here in this idea of prophets and prophecies. Now, I do want to say this, that in our day today, and it's not just been today, in our day, it's happened in history past, I do believe that the work of the prophet and prophecies have been misused. and probably more so in our day because of television and because of radio. I want to tell you this right now, and I was going to say this, and yet Cheryl was listening to our president speak this morning in Texas, and as I was getting ready to come to church, I heard him say the same thing, so I don't know why we're on the same wavelength this morning, but prophecies and prophets can be misused. And if you see something on television that says, if you send me the right amount of money, I'll give you the prophecy that you need, that is wrong, dead wrong, and that's an abuse of the work of the prophet. And I don't care who it is, because prophecies are not for sale. The book of Acts proves that, all right? Was it Paul who said, your money perish with you, and they wanted to buy the power of the Holy Spirit? And so, without mentioning any names, and I've heard it done before, that a so-called prophet will come on and say, for a certain amount of money, I'll give you a personal prophecy, and I'll make your future look bright. I'm sorry, that is a misuse of prophecy, and maybe that's why some people despise prophecies, but we shouldn't. Because prophecies are good. Prophets are good when used according to the will of God. Amen? So don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. So if you hear these things for sale, they need to straighten up their theology, in my opinion. And, you know, Cheryl, my wife, has been used in the prophetical before and has been spot on, but she's never once charged for it. You can come to church free. You can come to church free. I teasingly told Louie and his group, they're sitting in the cheap seats. But the truth is, there's no charge for being here. You say, well, you take an offering. Yes, we take an offering. It's called a free will offering. Thank you, Jason, for the water. I may need that, buddy. It's a free will offering. You pray your tithe, you give those as unto the Lord. But if you don't give anything, you're still welcome to come to church here. Amen? Amen. You say, well, if I give enough, can I sit in the front row? If you don't give a dime, you can sit on the front row. Matter of fact, it'd be nice to have some front row people here. I've been thinking about moving the front row out so that I will have some front row people here in the second row. But this is not for sale. God's work is not for sale. It's important that we give. We have to pay the bills. The pastors have to be taken care of. So we have tithing and offering and those opportunities. But no charge. Why? Because the gospel is not for sale. Amen. There's not enough money to buy it. Amen. And prophecies are not for sale. And prophets are not for sale. Or at least they shouldn't be. But it does happen in our world. And maybe that's what caused the Thessalonians to despise the work of the prophet. But as it was originally intended, prophecy was a very good thing. Prophecy is basically defined as, and there's greater definitions than this, but I'm just doing a condensed version. A prophecy is an inspired message from God. An inspired message from God. But it's given by way of a prophet. So a prophet gives an inspired message of God. We see it a lot in the Old Testament where the prophets gave prophecies. But in Deuteronomy 18, Moses, God through Moses, warned that the prophet, that if you give a false one, you're going to be stoned. So there was a high cost to giving a false prophecy. All right? We don't do that today, but we do rebuke if someone's trying to take advantage of the role of the prophet. The role of the prophet is very, very important, and they're to give an inspired message. But prophecies go even further, all right? A prophecy can be prophetic. In other words, it can foretell future events. This is what Jesus did in Matthew 24. He gave a series of prophecies in Matthew 24, about future events, the destruction of Jerusalem, etc. And we know by history that those came true. I know there's a lot of prophetic things going on today about the end of the world. And, you know, it's funny because you turn to one channel and one prophet will say the world's going to end in 2 months, and somebody else says it's going to be a year. And I say, wait a minute. Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour of the coming of the Son of Man. Hello? Amen? So if Jesus said, don't set the dates. Now, do I think things are shaping up for the coming of the Lord? I do. I really believe things are. I mean, you just look around, you can see things happening. But do I know when the Lord is coming? No, I don't, and neither do you. And neither does anyone on television or radio on the internet. Hello. They don't know. Only God the Father knows when the Son will come and when He'll return. And the second coming of Jesus is a reality and it's truth, but we don't know when. But we can see events, you know, happening around us, and we need to be prepared. My opinion has always been, I don't know when Jesus is coming. I want to be ready if He should come right now. Come on. Amen? Are we ready right now for the coming of the Lord? Are we ready right now? And if you're not ready for the coming of the Lord, I want to invite you to accept Christ as your Savior and ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Do it today. Don't put it off. Because Jesus could come today. He really could. Could come today or tomorrow. But be ready right now for the coming of the Lord. But a prophetic message could entail a future event. A prophetic message could also be exhortive or an encouragement. A prophecy could also be an encouragement for someone. That's generally what a sermon is. Generally, a sermon will be a prophetic thing that is exhorts or encourages people. At least we hope that it will encourage people. A prophetic word can also be instructional. It can instruct us as to certain things we should do. For the Lord. It could also be a warning. A prophetic word could be a warning of something that is imminent. It could be a number of these things. But let me tell you this. Any prophecy, any sermon, any message, any exhortation, anything at all that we might label as prophetic, it's got to match up with the Word of God. If it varies from this at all, then it is not of the Lord. Come on. It's got to match up. And that's why the Bible says in the next verse, test all things. Don't despise prophecies, but test them to see if they're of God. And then make that decision. Is it of God or is it not? Is there parts of God? Is it not? And it could be a number of things like that. We won't go into a lot of details with those, but the prophet then is the one who delivers that message. And so it is possible that the work of the prophet can be done through anyone that the Lord calls on to do that. Now, I've never claimed to be a prophet, all right? And yet, I have delivered a prophetical message before, but that's not the real focus of my ministry. I'm a shepherd. I'm a pastor. But in the role of a shepherd and pastor, I'm sure I've given a prophetical message to the church or to individuals as we've prayed, as anyone here could do. God can tap you on the shoulder and say, I want you to give a prophetical message. He may not use those words, but He could use you. You may not even know it's a prophetical word. You might be after church, you might visit with someone, and they might share their hurting, and then all of a sudden you just feel led to pray and pray, and you begin to pray, and as you begin to pray, encouragement for them, and when you're done, they feel better. I think you've given a prophetic word to them, a prophetic prayer. All right, you may not even know it. All right, and it's not like we want to wear a name badge. Hi, I'm a prophet. Matter of fact, don't give me that name badge. I don't want that. Call me pastor, that's great, but don't call me a prophet because that's not what I claim to be. But sometimes I may do the work of the prophet. All right, but don't despise them, and that's what Paul is saying. I don't want you to despise them. I'm going to reread verses 20 and 21. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. I'm going to reread this in four other versions, all right? And I didn't give these to Kristen to put on the board, so you just have to listen real close. But I thought these were interesting, and they say it much better than I can. From the Amplified Bible, here's what it says. Do not scorn or reject gifts of prophecy or the gifts of prophets or prophecies, meaning spoken revelations, words of instruction or exhortation or warning, but test all things carefully so you can recognize what is good and hold firmly to what is good. So the Amplified says, you know, listen and then test it. You know, test it by the Word of God and then hold on to what is good. All right? I gave a word of a prophetic word to someone years ago, and I said, now, this may not be of the Lord. I want you to know I'm a human being and I make mistakes, but this is what I feel the Lord is saying to you. If it's not, if after I share this with you, it doesn't ring a bell, then just don't stone me, but just write it off, all right? It could just be me. I always like that disclaimer, because how many know I'm human? More, yeah, thank you. All right. If you didn't raise your hands, ask Cheryl. She'll tell you. I'm human. All right? I'm not perfect. But I gave that word to that person, and they thanked me because it rang true with them. And it lined up with the word. All right? Lined up with the word. I have a pastor friend, I got to tell you this story. I won't tell you his name. But years ago, he had the call of a pastor and a prophet, or no, someone who really didn't like him, prayed for him and said a prayer something like this: "Yea, verily, thus saith the Lord, go thou to Africa." My friend, who is a smart aleck, no, I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry. If he sees this video, he's my friend. He responded this way: "Yea, verily, go thyself." Because, see, he knew that this person didn't like him. And the greatest delight for them was to see him go to Africa. Now, if it was God speaking, go to Africa, he would have heard that, and but he tested that and knew it came from the wrong spirit, the wrong attitude. Amen? Now, I do believe people are called to go to Africa or to India or on the mission. And that could be you someday. But God will confirm it through his word. He'll confirm it through trusted counselors, and it may even get a prophetic word. But if someone prophesies to you that you should go to the mission field, pray about that. Ask God about it. It may be just their desire to go and they can't, but it could genuinely be God tapping you on the shoulder saying, "I want you to go." Amen? So you understand that? Okay. From the NIV, some of you use that version. It says, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all, hold on to what is good. So very similar. Test the prophecies to see if they line up. From the Common English Bible, don't brush off spirit-inspired messages, but examine everything carefully and hang on to what is good. I like that. Examine them carefully and hang on to what is good. And then finally, from the First Nations Bible, a translation specifically for Native Americans. I thought this was really interesting. Do not look down on or turn away from words spoken as prophecies, but think deeply about what is said and hold firmly to what is good. I really like that wording. Think deeply about what is said. And that's really what I think Paul was saying to the Thessalonians, Thessalonians, is don't throw out prophecies. But when you hear one, think deeply about what it's saying. And then keep what is good. Because it could be that a prophetical word given to you, there could be a couple of things in it that are really ring really true. And others things may not mean anything right then, but later on down the road, because remember, God doesn't have a clock, a watch, a calendar, and later on down the road, that could come to pass. Prophecies sometimes are for the very moment, and I think sometimes prophecies are for an extended time, and maybe down the road is when the fulfillment will come. But all prophecies, all prophets need to line up with the word of the Lord. Real quickly, in 1 Corinthians, and again, I'm not sure that you can keep up with this, but what I want to do, I'm just going to go through 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, pick a couple verses to show you the legitimacy of prophets and prophecies, okay? So, give you a minute to find 1 Corinthians 12. And again, the Corinthians were just steeped in prophecies and prophets, and it was all a part of their church, and every church is different, and they were just wrapped up in it, and they got some of it wrong, so Paul had to write chapter 12, 13, 14 to correct some problems, but he also complimented them. They spoke in tongues, which was good, but then they abused it. There was prophecies, they abused those, so Paul had to correct the abuses. That's what the father, or the founder of the church, had to do. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led." And then if you skip down to verse 8, it says, "To one is given the word of wisdom." These are gifts of the Spirit. "Through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge. Through the same Spirit. To another, faith. By the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings. By the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. And to another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of those tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these, distributing to each one individually as He will." So you see, prophecy is a part of the gifts of the Spirit listed here, but it says not everybody may use that gift, but God could tap you on the shoulder and He may anoint you with that gift. See, and that's the way I believe that works. He may have the office of prophet, as we'll read in a minute, but anybody at any time, God could tap you on the shoulder and use you in this prophetical way. Now, look at verse 27. We're going to skip around. "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Teachers. After that, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administrations, variety of tongues." So there's a lot of different gifts within the church. But then he says, "Are all apostles?" And these are, he's saying, no, not everybody is an apostle. "Are all prophets?" No, it's understood. Not everybody is a prophet. "Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles?" No. "Do all have the gift of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you an excellent way." So he said, earnestly desire the gifts, the best gifts, the gifts that the Lord could use you in. And yet all of these are bona fide gifts. Chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. "Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail." Why? Because we're human. We don't always do things perfectly. Sometimes we get it wrong. And we need to admit that when that happens. So prophecies sometimes will fail because we're human vessels. "There are tongues, they will cease. Whether there's knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, etc." Now, Some believe that day has happened. I don't. I still believe in speaking in tongues. I still believe in the gifts of interpretation. I believe in prophecies, etc. And then chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. Pursue love. That's the greatest of the gift. But desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Okay? That you may prophesy. That's how important the Lord put on prophecy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks... Listen, now this is the purpose, one purpose of prophecies, is edification and exhortation and comfort. So prophecies can do those three things. Can help people, encourage people. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. So what he's doing here is not downplaying the speaking of tongues. We believe in that. Not everybody does that. But for those who do, he believes in it. I do that. And I believe that. But he said prophecies are designed to help the church. And again, not every prophecy is going to come from this pulpit. It's going to come as the Lord uses you. All right? But we don't take advantage of it, and we don't sell it, and we don't abuse it. That's when people begin to despise it. And we don't want that to happen. Amen? Amen. Now, to conclude, in John chapter 21, John spoke to Peter a prophecy. And it had to do with his future. He didn't do this with all the disciples directly, but he did indicate to the original disciples that all of them would have to pay a terrible price, a high price, for following him. But to Peter, he took him aside and he said these words. In verse 18 of John 21, this was a prophecy. Most assuredly, I say to you, to Peter, when you were young, you girded or clothed yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. That was the prophecy to Peter. We now know what that meant. Peter may not have known it then, but John goes on to explain it in verse 19. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." So Jesus speaks to Peter and says, When you were young, you did what you wanted to do. But when you're old, someone else will put clothing on you and they'll carry you where you don't want to go. And then John explains the prophecy and says Jesus was talking about the manner in which Peter would die. We assume that by the time John wrote this, Peter had died. And how did Peter die? He died in Rome, on a cross, upside down, because he didn't want to die in the same way his Savior died. They took him, nailed him to a cross, upside down. He fulfilled the prophecy that Jesus gave. He gave his life for Jesus. He was a martyr. He was a martyr. He was killed on this earth. But as he breathed his last here, his next breath was the breath of heaven. And he was with his Savior. Amen? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, that's a unique situation. It has probably happened before where the Lord has shown us perhaps how we will pass away. But generally speaking, that doesn't happen. We don't know. But what we do know is that when prophecy is done right, and when we don't glorify prophecy, but we put it in its place of the other spiritual gifts, and we let it function as a normal part of a Christian life and of the church, it's a wonderful thing. It can be helpful. It can be beneficial. And that's why we're not to despise it, but always test it and prove it and make sure it lines up with the Word of God. Amen? What's important to me, I want the worship team to come back if you would. What's important for me is that we believe it, because it's in the Bible. You can't get around 1 Corinthians 13. Prophecy was part of the church. Even though it's abused in our world, it can be abused. We don't throw it out. Amen? We don't throw it out. We say, Lord, use it. And use me, perhaps, if you need to. Now, if you don't, that's okay. But it's important that I believe it. Because if we believe it, it becomes a blessing. And that goes to everything else. As we end this series, remember I told you kind of the conclusion of this series was peace. Believing brings peace. Not only believing in prophecies, but believing in the gifts of the Spirit, believing in the presence of the Holy Spirit, believing that Jesus Christ was born a virgin. How many know of a virgin? How many know that's important? That's part of our belief system, that he was sinless, that he was God, he was man, that he died on the cross. He didn't just pass out. Come on. But he died on the cross, and he was buried, and he rose again 3 days later. Amen? We believe in the resurrection. We believe. In believing all of those things, we are at peace. Praise God. Amen? We may not understand everything about prophecy. We may not ever understand everything about speaking in other tongues. We may not understand everything about the word of knowledge and all of those. We may not understand everything about resurrection. But what we do is we believe in it. And the believing in it is what helps us be encouraged. Amen. Everyone said, I believe. I believe. Let's stand together.